Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with this week's look at the world of non-league football. Back once again via the power of the internet with Dave Anderson. Dave, welcome back. All good at Anderson Mansions?
Yeah, all fine. You know, beautiful weather. I've been out hitting some golf balls at over by North Greenford United Football Club, Tim. There's fields there, so I've been out there sort of very happy with myself. Tomorrow, Friday, when the show goes out. Well, to be fair, Tim, tomorrow's one of them real mixed emotion days for me. The first part of it's going to be quite sad because it is Pat Byrne's funeral. We spoke about Pat on the show last week, but Northwood Football Club have arranged for the ground to be open at 1:15. If anybody's listening and they want to come, the ground will be open at 1:15 so that we can go into the ground. Keeping social distancing, the 2 meters apart, and we can give Pat like a 2 minute applause before he leaves on his last journey. So that's going to be ever so sad, and then it's followed by happiness because I get to go and play my first round of golf for about 8 weeks, literally round the corner, as people know. I manage Northwood Football Club, but I'm a member of Northwood Golf Club, which Pat Byrne, God bless him, was a member as well. So it's going to be a real mixed emotion day tomorrow. But hopefully the sun will shine and we'll have good memories of a good non-league guy who's no longer with us.
Yeah, it's almost a reflection of where we are. Yeah, this time last year you were preparing as well for a big match at Wembley, and now you're hoping for any match at all near Wembley, aren't you?
Yeah, it's that's mad, the fact that it's come around so quick. And we've spoke about it plenty of times. And on Twitter, I'm quite enjoying on Twitter, the people who run the Churchy Twitter account are every day they're going through the next round, you know, like so the next round, and the deep little clip. And so I'm really enjoying that. My mates are hiding from me because the closer the anniversary comes, and it's, I think we're 4 or 5 days away. Obviously, you know, I've seen when I do little things now, I've sent them an email. I sign it FA Vaz winner Dave Anderson, you know, just to annoy them. It's a strange week. I think initially all the Churchy lads had said we were going to meet up and either go to the final and have a few beers and watch it, or go to a pub and watch it with a few beers. And I think we'll maybe end up having a Zoom party or something like that, you know. But it's at least we get the chance to celebrate what we did. And, you know, the poor teams, as I said before, I feel for the guys who are still trying to get to the final of this year's competition. And, of course, the FA Trophy's in the same situation, Tim. So I am worried of what they're going through because, as a manager, you know what's involved. And to be fair, as a football supporter, and any of the lads, any of our listeners, they're all big non-league supporters. So they'll understand what teams are going through as well, you know. So shame on that. And hopefully we get out the other end and they get the chance to play in the semi-final and final.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk at the moment, particularly at the highest levels, of possibly football coming back, playing behind closed doors. And we know, you know, non-leagues effectively announce the end of the season, but it is the FA Vars and the FA Trophy that could still be played out. But, I mean, I have my doubts as to whether it would be the FA Trophy and the FA Vars if those games ended up being played, but they had to be played behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's really tough. I don't know, because I know, you know, obviously, you know, we'll speak to Danny later, and he'd won the Vaz. But those games from the last 32 onwards, last 16, you know, the atmosphere and the edginess and the bigger crowds all of a sudden, where the town really gets behind what you're doing. It'd be a shame for people not to experience that, you know.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed we'll have some sort of news on the Vaz and Trophy in the coming weeks. And, you know, hopefully we can get all of football back underway as soon as possible, as soon as it's safe.
Yes, absolutely, mate. Yeah. And give us, I'm so glad Danny's got the job at Hungerford, because at least we've got something to talk about.
Well, there's always stuff to talk about in non-league, Mr. Anderson, and you know, normally this would be our final show of the season, because we'd normally be talking about FA Trophy, FA Vars final, and then we might do a little show afterwards on the back of it. But I don't know about you, if I can continue, we can meet up on this shadowy corner once a week. You know, let's see if we can keep it going through, because there's plenty of stories still coming our way. It's slow on the news front, but there's plenty of other people that have got great, interesting stories to tell, and hopefully we can talk to them over the coming weeks.
Sounds good to me.
Right, so we've spoken to managers about how they're surviving lockdown. So what about a manager who this week has taken on a new job in the middle of lockdown? No stranger to the show, after 5 great years at Thatcham Town, he this week stepped up 2 levels in the pyramid to fill the vacant role at Hungerford Town. To tell us more, welcome back to the show, new manager at Hungerford Town, Danny Robinson.
Yeah, hi guys, how are you?
Well, we're all good, Danny. Now, first up, I suppose we should ask, how was everybody in the Robinson household?
Not too bad. It's the missus is currently, well, she's not under the patio yet, so she's all right. And then, the dog gets worried about every time I get the lead out now, so for a walk. So, but other than that, the old 4 walls definitely settling in, and it's driving me a bit stir crazy, I must admit. But over the past couple of days, my life's been completely different.
Yeah, of a whirlwind in the last couple of days. As I say, you've taken on the vacant role at Hungerford Town. Now, you've told us, you know, every time you've been on the show, you told us about how much you loved your time at Thatcham and the people there. 5 years. Was it hard to move on, especially after that good season last term?
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching. You know, I'm only human. You know, I absolutely love Thatcham to bits. I'm a Thatcham boy. You know, I will still even be a Thatcham supporter. Of course I will. But, you know, it's I was writing out my resignation letter for the chairman and everything like that. And I'm not going to lie, you know, there was sort of booing my eyes out at one point. But at the end of the day, football is, you know, about progression. It's about being the best you can be, about players playing the highest level they can, about managers managing as high as they physically can. And, you know, to have this opportunity at Hungerford Town was just too good to turn down. And, you know, it's a different, completely and utterly different challenge to one that hopefully I'll relish and, you know, hopefully do well at.
Yeah, I mean, your ambitions has always been clear. You've wanted to manage as high as you can. You've been successful, well, since you started out, really. You were 21, I think, when you started out at Winchester City Reserves managing.
That's it, yeah. 21 at Winchester Reserves, then went on to Oxford Town in the Wessex League. It's had 7 brilliant years there. And then, obviously, they took them from 3rd from bottom and ended up finishing 2nd twice, you know, in Wessex Premier League as well, and picking up a fair few trophies along the way. And then, obviously, went on to Thatcham. And, you know, everybody obviously talks about the Vars because it's one of the biggest things you can win in non-league, but to turn them from 13th in the Hellenic League to top of the Southern League, you know, in 5 years is probably one of my biggest achievements, obviously, as well, along with the Vars. So, you know, brilliant times, brilliant place, brilliant club. You know, definitely helped me in my life as well as football as well. So, you know, I feel eternally grateful to everybody at Thatcham.
Yeah, well, my partner in crime is probably the man that would talk about the FA Vars the most, because to get off you, Dave, it's going to be you've watched a lot of National South this year. Danny's already aware it's going to be a different proposition, but I mean, what sort of info could you give him about his new job?
Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's a proper level of football. Not to, listen, not to what the level we were at and one of the VARs at isn't, or the of what's the level above with Chertsey this year. It's good. But this takes it to a different notch. This is, you know, bigger crowds, better pitches, technically better players, fitter, more organised. It's everything's bigger, better, you know. So I think Donny will really enjoy it. I do. I was just looking at it thinking, listen, I've done a lot of things in football, but to get a job when you're not allowed out of your house is a real achievement, Donny. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, I know. Even my employees said, oh, you know, I managed to do that, I must admit. So, but it was just a no-brainer.
Why, Dan? Because when you look at the league table, Thatcham have a big chance of going up. Hungerford have a big chance of going down. You know, why did you feel it was a no-brainer?
Because all the reasons you just said, you know, bigger pitches, bigger crowds, better pitches, better managers. Well, not saying, you know, managers at our level or not, but you're talking, you know, tactically more shoot and more analysis goes into everything as well. You know, every little stone does get turned over, obviously, at that level of football, this level of football. And I just want to test myself, you know, that at the end of the day, I want to manage against these players. I want to manage against the great managers that are in this division. You know, I could, without being not big-headed or anything, because I'm far from that, you know, you could stay in a comfort zone, you know, and you could become, you know, like I say, not stale, but that's the wrong word, so I was never stale at Thatcham, but you can become the place. But sometimes I think, you know, life for me is you know, being the best you can be, and if an opportunity arises, and we all know the limitations, there's massive limitations at Hungerford. You know, it would have been easy for me to sign my two-year contract at Thatcham. It would have been easy for me, but I'm not that type of person. I'm not, any challenge that if people tell you that you can't do, you know, and it's impossible, always say, you know, it drives me even more. And I always say, like I say, you can't spell impossible without possible in it, can you? So
no,
that's the reason why I'm taking it.
Yeah, no, I, brilliant. And I think, you know, when you walk into a new football club, you know, when you take over a new football club, you can't wait to get in the door. You can't wait to get the players together to say, look, here's what I am. Here's what I think you are. You know, that stuff. How are you dealing with that stuff, Dan?
It is. Because everything's done on the phone. Since it's been announced and everything like that, I've had to charge my phone about 20 times, I think. You know, I'm now dealing with agents. I'm now dealing with people obviously trying to push your players. And then you get agents trying to, you know, represent yourself, you know, from the league, welcome them in. And, you know, everybody at Hungerford, obviously behind the scenes. It has just been an absolute whirlwind. But not to actually physically see anybody. I did have to go up the club, all be 2 meters apart with the chairman the other day to have a photo, local photo shoot with the press. Obviously, and everything was done, you know, accordingly. But that's really, like I say, the only time that I have been up there. I had a quick little mooch in the manager's office, as you would do, wouldn't you? And then in the home change room. So I managed to get Hungerford. So I've only ever been in the away one. But it is hard. It's hard because I'm one of those people, I love doing things face to face. You know, put a phone to people's ear holes. You can't really see what their eyes are saying, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I'd love to do, you know, especially, you know, talking to players I want to stay, talking to the players I want to try and, you know, push on to this level and everything like that. But the general reception I've received from Hungerford Town has been absolutely mind-blowing and absolutely brilliant, you know, countless of fans. And also as well, you know, the very much well wishes from all the Thatcham Town fans as well.
Yeah, I think... I don't think anyone at Thatcham will deny you the chance to move on, and neither they should. I think your achievement there speaks for itself. We're in a little, very small club, me and you, you know, so we are associated together because of the VARs, which is a lovely thing to have. But I thinking of you at your stage of your career, mine came right at the end, you know. So for me, it was a perfect end to go, right, that's me done. I'm out of here. You came back from Wembley, won the VARs, and really produced again the next year to take Thatcham, you know, to where they are now, to be fair, Dan. How do you envisage the job now getting at Hungerford? How many of the players do you know? Do you see massive change? Little things like that, totally different thing, but how do you envisage that? Because they are in a difficult situation.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm going into it. My eyes are fully open. You know, the brilliant job that Ian Herring done, obviously, over the past couple of years, just to keep him up and everything like that, just shows you the monster task it is. But being a local lad, you know, Hungerford's 20 minutes from me. You know, I've got a National League South, Leicester have a National League South club that's right on my doorstep. So whenever I didn't really have a game, or I didn't have a game for Faction or anything like that, I was going to go and watch someone. I always ended up at Woolpit Lane to go and watch. So I know the playing staff. Obviously, there are a fair few lads that come on loan from, obviously, pro clubs and everything like that. But the majority of lads that I knew there that have been there for quite some time, like your James Rosbys, obviously Matt Berry, Hargreaves, and players like that. You know, I do know them. So I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to things like that. I have to know what's the best players in the local area, if you know what I mean. So But no, they know it's under no illusion what Hungerford is. You know, it is that smallest club in the National South. It is with the smallest budget in the National South, but that is the biggest ambition and the biggest driver that I have. You know, that's like I already said, if people tell you that you're, you know, before the virus, they're putting Hungerford down. So that's what we've got to, you know, like I say, taking our stride. And if we can, if by a miracle, if we can stay up, then, you know, I would put that, you know, as high as what the FA Pass was for me.
Yeah, well, sorry, Tim, one more for me, because I am interested. So, well, in many ways, you get, you know, as opposed to taking over the club now, where 6, 7, 8 games to go, where they're in a difficult situation, that gets wiped clean. You start again next season, albeit with the smoke. So you'll get time to, it could work out in really beneficial to you, Danny, because you get time to set in place some new stuff or new players or a new way of doing it, and you get a whole go at it again. So I think in many ways it couldn't be much better for you. I know the budget's small, but you're not trying to go into a sinking ship, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, of course. No, 100%. It's, you know, it's kind of like you just said, like completing like a clean slate. That's, you know, I'm getting a free hit at this, at Conference South. That's what I keep saying, Conference, should say, at National League South.
Don't worry about it, mate.
I'll keep saying that. I actually, the first time I got told off by Mr. Chambers, as I say, that is my new boss. So, but no, literally, it is a whole new, pretty much clean slate. And, you know, it's about trying to now, which the bit that makes me feel alive as a manager is trying to get players that want to, are hungry to play that level. You know, they're hungry to, because it is a big shop window. It is massive. You can sell them. You know, that is, you know, people do look at that level. If you're turning heads playing for Hungerford Town in the National South, you know, you could well go on to bigger, you know, pro clubs and bigger and better things. So it is. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And it's a wonderful, you know, to be 34 and to manage in, you know, National League level. It's a real dream come true for me. And like I said, as much as I've been very grateful for Fatima all those years, I'm extremely grateful to Patrick Chambers, the chairman, to give me this opportunity.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about the, you know, trying to find players that have got the desire, and also mentioning that you know the local area, local players really well. Is that going to be important to put together a pool of local lads that feel something about the local area and about the club?
Yeah, most definitely. My philosophy at Thatcham, you know, to me moving to Hungerford, is not going to change. Obviously, of course, your player circles do change a bit because obviously the level that you're at. But my philosophy of doing everything will stay the same. You know, touch wood, I've been quite, you know, successful doing it that way. So it is about having the best local players that play for you. It's about that they bring family to watch the games. It's about keeping the chairman happy. That generates money. You know, people staying later behind the bar, putting more money, you know, behind the actual bar itself. And it is. And you find that a local player will go through more brick walls and, you know, and climb up mountains for you. That's what I generally found in my years of, you know, years of managing. If you've got a lad that is like, because, it, you know, they have to face people walking down the street. They have to, you know, answer questions in the local pub on a Sunday afternoon, you know, and things like that. So it is. It is important to me to have the best players locally playing for me. It is important that. And obviously what you can do, you have to try and find some gems along the way, and some gems, you know, have to have a look at pre-season. It's going to be when, well, touch wood, when we actually manage to do go back.
Yeah.
You know, it is going to be a very busy time for Hungerford and a very busy time for me and my coaching staff. But, you know, like I said, sometimes you have to kiss a lot of frogs, don't you? But it is. You just got to find people that are hungry to do this level and to, you know, who wouldn't be inspired to go away to Dulwich Hamlet and play in 2,000 plus people? You know, yeah. Wealdstone, but, you know, the teams like that. Having a Waterloo field in this world, you know, it gives me goosebumps even talking about it.
Dave could tell you plenty about Wealdstone. He's a permanent fixture there. Well, he was a permanent fixture until we tried to get Dean Brennan a job elsewhere the other week. But
I have to make that clear. I did not try and get Dean Brennan another job because I do want to go back to Wealdstone. I posed a question that a radio pundit should pose. Timothy, let me tell you. But it is, I will say this, Danny, it's in Albans. I say a little period of wore socks longer than I was there. But I had a period managing in the division and I liked it. And I've watched a lot of it this year, albeit the team that's top of the division. So you tend to see a team that's confident and buoyant. But I will assure you, you will enjoy it because it just it's just a proper league. And I think the other thing that Hungerford are getting, they're not getting someone who jumps around. You know, I think you've proved that you stick around, do the job, and then move to the next job. So I think and the locality's massive. I think it places, you know, if I get the Hungerford job, for me to travel up there, it takes me ages to get there. Two, I need to then get to know the area and the players within it, whereas effectively you walk in with all those boxes ticked. So clever on their part as well. But listen, you're stuck. I'll be interested to see. I'll tell you what we should do, Tim. Whenever we get out of this lockdown and we look like we're back to normality, we should give Donny a ring just to see how many players he's signed, because I'm all over the story of how you do that under these rules and regulations, you know?
Yeah, no problem at all. No, literally, it is hard, you know, and it's terrible when, you know, when you're trying to FaceTime a player and things like that, and obviously the camera's not very kind to me, you know. I'm missing McDonald's more than anybody, but it is strange times. It is really weird and it is bizarre. Like I said, I feel like you can only really gauge a person when you're actually with someone, can't you? Yeah. Really and truthfully. But all managers have to do it. You know, all managers have charm. All managers have charisma. That's why they do it. And, you know, to try and attract a player to come and play at this level. Really and truthfully, if a player wants to play at this level, you know, they should give it a go. It should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, many, many aspects come into life and things like that, of course, they do. But, no, it is. I must admit, the players that I've spoken to so far have been very, very good. You know, very, very good. Obviously, we'll continue to work hard. And, you know, I just can't wait to get put my boots on. That's all I want to do, put my boots. You know, I tried to play a little bit of two-touch with my missus in the garden the other day, and she's better than me, so that's inside. So, but, yeah, so we just can't wait to get back going, you know, obviously when it's all safe to do so as well.
Yeah, I'll also add as well, you've got great experience as a manager, but it's good to see that you've already brought across Keith Pennicott-Bowen to assist you again. I mean, if you want non-league experience, there's a man. Isn't it? I think you played over 800 senior appearances in the Isthmian League, Hellenic Leagues. You know, played under great managers, including Terry Brown, old friend of the show when he was at Wokingham. And I think he's been with you at Thatcham for 4 years. Is that probably the most important part of the jigsaw as you're going forward now?
Massive part. You know, you have to surround yourself with good people, don't you? You know, because when times do get hard, and there will be a lot of, you know,
when we're allowed to surround ourselves with people, like maybe, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, true. Yeah, 2 meters apart. I should have put that in tonight. But, yeah. But no, you do. You have to surround yourself with good people. And, you know, Bosey, Keith, he's been brilliant for me. You know, so since he was there pretty much the whole journey with Thatcham and everything like that. And then, obviously, you know, Andy Darnton, who is my assistant manager. You know, they're the brains. You know, like I said, they're the hardest working ones. And, you know, so, you know, they have wonderful experience between them. they're like a kids at Christmas now, because obviously what the level is and what it brings and everything like that. I finally got told that Bowes actually did play for Hungerford, and he made quite a few appearances for Hungerford as well. You know, we've kept on Ian Hobbs.
To be fair, he did have more clubs than Dave Anderson's managed, so it's a good chance.
Yeah, no, I always keep saying to him, I said, Bowes, I never see you with any photos in clubhouses. I don't know, I never see it. But I think there is actually a couple of him in Hungerford. So, but like I say, those two there are. You know, the experience, you know, for what, as in the playing side of things, I never, you know, played a level, a great level at all, but, you know, their experiences and everything like that, I'm a fan, I love listening to them, but, you know, there's a good ethos and a good work and a good bond between us three, and, you know, to add Ian Hobbs, who's been at, obviously, Hungerford for a long time, and, you know, I know he followed Bobby very briefly over to Willstone. But he's a local man, you know, great goalkeeping coach, which, you know, it's quite hard to find sometimes. And then you've got, obviously, Robin, who does the physio, you know, who was there last season as well. So, you know, you have to have a strong backroom staff. I've had my my big cousin, Andy Leader, on the phone to me, saying if there's any role that he would like to do or anything like that, he would like to jump at the chance as well. So, you know, you do have to surround yourself with good people, and you know, they are really the backbone of any side, your backroom staff.
Yeah, so we're conducting video interviews for all these positions. And having done various video interviews myself, particularly in the last few weeks, does the way their background presents themselves, there's been lots of debate about the books that people have on shows. What do non-league players have in their background when you're doing an interview with them?
They've been in the garden, mostly. been in the garden. They all have nice gardens. I don't know where they want the extra £20 from when they've got, you know, a massive great big garden like that is. But, yeah, generally gardens. I think I've seen a couple of bank walls. I think that's, you know, I think magnolia is generally the colour of choice. you know, it's, yeah, so it is, like I said, it's always it's a strange and bizarre situation. But, you know, you do, I must admit, I do like having a little scout about, see if you can see a player's personality with the wall or whatever they've got behind them as well, can't you?
Yeah, well, Danny, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's great news that you've been given this opportunity, and we hope that it won't be too long before you can pull those boots on and start rallying the troops around Hungerford Town and getting some games on. So best of luck, well done, and take care of yourself.
Yeah, congratulations, Danny. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you ever so much, guys. Make sure you stay safe, yeah.
Dave, a young man with plenty of experience behind him, and he's got a real opportunity there.
Yeah, it all fits for me. Young manager, young and experience in management very rarely go together. But he is a young manager, and he is experienced.
And experience of being successful as well. It's not just
absolutely, yeah. And listen, if you win the Vaz, you can deal with big football matches, you know, because there's big games all the way up into the final. So he's proved that. He's proved he can deal with that. He's been successful at Thatcham over, you know, 5-year period. And I think it's good on Hungerford's part. I think it makes sense to I know they're dropping down a couple of divisions to get a manager, but I think it makes sense. I think it's a real good fit. Local guy, and you know, and as I say he'll enjoy the level. He just sounds like he's not one of them lads that'll daunt him. He'll embrace it instead of being scared of it, you know. So it's a good fit, and I hate to say that because, you know, my track record's like of predicting things, but I think he's got that work ethic and success. He's got, you know, certainly looks like having the X factor. Can he produce the X factor in Conference South? And if he can do that at his age, then there's no bar on how high he could go.
Mm. And when everybody else is worried about their jobs that they've got at the moment, there's a man that's been able to get a job during lockdown.
That's incredible. That bit, you know, it's a real weird time for all of us, but because we're talking about football, we'll stay on football. It's it's just a weird, how do you get a job when you can't go for an interview, when you you know, when you have to effectively, I suppose they did it by Skype, or I've just no idea. I think maybe he knew the people there, which probably helped the situation. So, and I'm like him. I like to see the whites of people's eyes when I'm negotiating with them, when I'm talking to them, when I'm trying to sign them, when I'm going to work for them. I like to look them in the eye, and because my instincts are better than anything that people are having to deal with at the moment. But, you know, as he said, everyone's in the same boat with it, you know.
Yeah, and as I always tell my kids, you know, being able to perform on the big occasion, which he's proven as well, like yourself with the FA Vars, is great. But every single touch point with somebody is a potential way of showing how good you are in the future. And he's clearly done that.
No, he has. Absolutely has. And you know, we'll all be, you know, judged, you know, people all of a sudden. I'd spent sort of the best part of 25, 30 years in the game, and now the FA Vars is the thing that I'll be looked upon, that they'll be associated with, sorry, you know, which is fine. I'm absolutely fine with it. But there is other stuff that goes with it, and Danny's the same. People will go, oh, he won the FA Vars, but he's done an awful lot more than that, and that experience to take it to this level, you know, it gives him a better chance.
So time once again to head on over to those virtual non-league paper towers, and welcome back to the non-league show. It's senior writer at the non-league paper, David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're well.
I am well, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. It's one of those weeks again, isn't it? We should perhaps have been talking about those playoff results. We would have been previewing non-league finals day. Instead, we're still awaiting news on the National League, and if we'll ever see the FA Vars and FA Trophy being completed. Any further indications on either at your end?
I think it still remains that non-league finals day is hope that it will happen at some point. Of course, we're at the semi-final stage. We're not too far off Wembley, really. Obviously, the semi-finals are two legs, so you're effectively not really got too many games to play in that sense. But of course, it all sort of depends as to when it's safe to play those games and sort of things around player contracts, etc. You know, I kind of feel that with that sort of few games like that, I feel, you know, maybe they could get it on somewhere down the line. But if, you know, if fans weren't permitted in the stadiums, I mean, I think that would take quite a lot away from those matches, to be honest. And really, they sort of feel that you want to get it on. But I mean, is that sort of what you would take for getting the games on, playing in front of no fans? I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure the clubs and the players would particularly take to that idea, I don't think. But nonetheless, we're still sort of in limbo this week, like you said. There's been meetings the EFL has been having as to what they're going to be doing with their season. It was thought that Leagues 1 and 2 were going to be called off this week, that their season's ended, and that hasn't happened yet. I think there might still be time for that to happen on Friday, but for the time being, it's sort of as we were this time last week, really.
Yeah, and I fully agree with what you're saying about the, you know, playing these games behind closed doors. I'd love to see, knowing what it means for a club to get so close in the FA Vars and FA Trophy, I'd love for those games to be able to be played at some point. And we still don't know whether it's going to be possible for, you know, non-league to even kick off a season next season, you know, next year, this year, whenever that is. So these may be the only games that we could still get played in that time period. But yeah, there's been lots of debate that I've seen about playing games behind closed doors, and I think that really, as much as you know, people are saying that they're missing their football, you can watch, you know, some obscure league from somewhere else in the world at the moment, and I think even the German league, you can watch some of those games, but if you're really a non-league football fan, you love it because it's the the other bits that go with it, going to watch non-league and getting involved with non-league, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote a couple of weeks ago in the papers about how really it's almost not so much the football you miss, but rather going to it and the people you meet and the grounds you visit, and things that go on at non-league grounds. I think probably often for supporters, the 90 minutes in between all that of watching the football sort of spoils the day, really. But if you can get a win or a good season, it makes it even better. But I mean, ultimately, yeah, it is the people you're watching with and standing on the terraces, absolutely. And I think it would be nice to watch football again, of course, but if you're sat at home watching it on TV in an empty stadium, if it's Harrogate against Concord in an empty Wembley stadium or something, I'm not really sure that has the same sort of impact or
it wouldn't really be a
special occasion, really.
Yeah, it's the finals day that after years of lobbying, finally came about where we've got the vase and the trophy on the same day, which is such a celebration of non-league football. Without the fans, it wouldn't really be the celebration it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you have to sort of weigh out really the cost of that. I think, obviously at the top levels and Germany as well, probably be seeing shortly, it's going to be a very different occasion really for all those matches. It's not something that happens often, playing in front of no fans, of course. It's not an ideal solution by any means, really.
No, and there'll be plenty of quips about various teams around non-league that do play in front of an empty stadium. But anyway, elsewhere, not a great deal of news going on in the world of non-league, because there's not a great deal of news anywhere, really, other than the standard government updates. A few managerial changes of note. We've spoken to Danny Robinson about his move to Hungerford Town from Thatcham Town earlier on. And I see it at step five, my old friend Danny Wakelin's departed at Welling Town. But in the Southern League, Corby Town have reappointed Tommy Wright. The latter obviously had great success there before, taking them into National North, I think it was, that they went into. And they'll be hoping for some more success along a similar sort of line.
Yeah, that's right. You say, obviously, you tipped them up into step two a few years ago. I was relegated back down, but he goes in there again and we'll try and do it all over again, really. I think, they say never go back, but it's fairly common in non-league, really, to see managers go back to their old club. And to be honest, I think that's probably quite a good move for Corby. They probably sort of haven't had the best of times, really, since then. But I think it looks like a pretty solid appointment, really, to try and bring some happier times back to the club, obviously, whenever that may be.
Indeed, whenever that may be. But in the meantime, although we haven't got football to watch, we've got plenty to read about every week in the non-league paper. And what can we expect to read this weekend?
Yeah, so plenty more to come in the non-league paper this weekend. It's our ninth one without any games, so getting quite used to putting it together now, really. It's perhaps come easier than we thought it would do when this all first started. But it's been really enjoyable nonetheless to try and put it together. But this week I spoke to Chris Waddle, who of course people remember from playing for England and Tottenham, Newcastle, Marseille. But obviously he started out his career in non-league with Tolor Town and then returned to non-league sort of towards the back end of his career at Worksop and and a few others, and he still plays today. He still loves turning out on a Sunday morning wherever he can find a game, and that still seems to be sort of catching up with him, all about his career and his stories from his non-league days and at the top level as well, which is really interesting, and also sort of hearing the passion he has for non-league, really, because you know, he really loves the lower levels, and that's why he's still involved in it now. He goes to watch Hallam regularly, where, you know, obviously he knows Craig Benton well, who's just gone in there. He's talking all about that, and you know, you really got the feel that he likes, he still loves non-league.
Well, that's as an ex-Spurs player as well. Anything about Chris Waddle is always entertaining. I remember seeing Chris Waddle play for Newcastle against Tottenham as well back in the day. And I do know already that about his passion for the non-league game, which has never left him. But that's certainly something to look forward to reading about. And hopefully, we should have been, you know, enjoying non-league finals day, and hopefully, as you say, there may be some news on Friday once this has already gone out about other things going on in the world of non-league. But until then, we'll look forward to reading the non-league paper on Sunday. And thank you once again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Brilliant. Cheers, Tim.
So that's it for this week. Thank you to Dave Anderson for joining me. Thank you to Danny Robinson as well. And congratulations on the new appointment there. Thank you to everybody that listens. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's at Dave Anderson 78. Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker. Myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites, where you can also find the Gaffer Tapes, which hopefully will be back with you soon. Stay safe, stay home, thank you, and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.